You have sound? Check, check, check. You got it? Got it? Good, good. How y'all doing this evening? Welcome to class for this week. I'm going to pray and we get right into our lesson. Father, thank you for the night. Thank you for your goodness. Of course, your mercy and definitely your grace. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Jesus, you died on the cross and made it possible that we can sit at the feet of our Father and understand what he's saying, be in his presence. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can escort us into his presence. We give you the full control of this class. Open up what needs to be opened up to us. Help us understand. Our hearts are open, our minds are open, and we're ready to receive. Father, thank you for the apostolic anointing you've placed on Apostle Thompson. Thank you that it is affecting all of our lives in such a great way. We thank you for those that are here and their families that are here in this class, and also those that are watching by internet and Roku. We give you all the glory, God. You're so good to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Alrighty, last time we were together, we was in chapter 13, and we were going to kind of went over some of the roles of the senior pastor. I can't stress enough the difference between today's pastor and the pastor of the New Testament. Their focus was different. The New Testament pastor focus was more on God's agenda. Today's pastor is more focused on people's issues. Well, in Matthew 6:33, we've learned that if we seek first the kingdom agenda, all these things will be added to us. So the objective for us is not to be focused on us and our issues, but to be focused on God and what he wants. When we do that, then everything works out for our good. Romans 8:28, and we know all things work together for the good. Now watch this. For them that love God and are called according to his purpose. See, we like to say all things work together for good. No, that ain't for everybody. Only for those that love him. Right. Yes. Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my command. You see this? Yeah. And he said, those are called according to his purpose. That's who everything works out good for. This is not for everybody. It's for those that are called according to his purpose and love him. So that means that if I take the attention off of myself and put it on what God wants, that means now God is now, remember now Galatians 6:7, God is not mocked. For whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So if I put my attention on God, that means I'm putting God in a position and I'm putting myself in a position to reap God's attention. Are you seeing this? So today's pastor is not really focused on that, in which we have to, the apostolic is making that change, that we're not just focused on what, how can we be improved just to be improved? How can I be improved so I can be more efficient for the kingdom of God? And so we begin to talk about the different functions of a pastor, the role of the senior pastor. And we kind of went over some of those things. And now I want to go over in the latter part of that chapter, chapter 13, the last one, which is break the limitations of the past to go forward. This is important. This is important to break the limitations of the past. Every limitation in your life was developed from past actions. Every limitation that has developed in your life comes from past actions. So now, if that's the case, you and I, within our own power, cannot redeem ourselves. We're going to need something else to help us redeem. That's where the blood of Jesus comes in. That's where the power of the blood comes in. That is where the Holy Spirit comes in. Because if we're going to break, listen to the internet, if we're going to break the limitations of the past to press forward to the world beyond infinity, as they said in Tolstoy, to infinity and beyond. If we're going to go to places we've never been before, accomplish things that we've never accomplished before, and also, watch this, go, we don't necessarily have to break the limits, but in order to go with somebody who is breaking limits. See, in order for you to be connected to somebody with a pioneering spirit, we talked about an apostolic strategy with an apostle, a pioneering spirit. You can't be connected to somebody with a pioneering spirit and not yourself have the ability to break through. You see this? So we have to put ourselves in a position to where we understand that our past actions all the time create current limitations, and we have to push beyond those. And so the final purpose of a senior pastor is to discover the grace and power of God to break the limitations of resources, personnel, money, technology, and time. Now, in order to break those limitations, you're going to need three things: God's supernatural grace, God's preceding word, and power of the Spirit. Turn with me to Matthew 4 and 4. Jesus made a very powerful statement here in this fourth chapter of Matthew, the fourth verse. He said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Our faith dwells on God's word. Now, here's where your faith comes in at. Because we've been studying about the three realms, apostle been talking about the glory. You have faith, the anointing, and the glory. Apostle Thompson has been focusing a lot on the glory. Well, in order for you to get the glory, you got to start somewhere. Where you start? You start in faith. All right? Now, here's the issue with faith. Even faith is a grace or a gift from God. Romans 12 and 3. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. In other words, God has given us a certain measure of faith. It's a gift from God. So if it's a gift from God, then it also means that I can't operate faith by myself. It's going to take God's word. Listen to me very carefully, because this is key. Not God's word that I choose, but God's word that becomes revealed. Go to Romans, the 10th chapter. See, remember now, we're talking about breaking limitations, breaking barriers, and finances, and technology, and time, and resources. We're talking about breaking barriers because, remember now, our past actions have caused current limitations. We can't go back in time. But because of the blood of Jesus, we can be redeemed. That can be brought back. We can be put back in former positions. And so Romans, the 10th chapter, turn there with me. Very familiar scripture on faith. Remember now, it's faith, the anointing, then glory. We want to start in faith, move through the anointing, but the ultimate goal is to be in God's glory. That's how limitations are going to be broken. That's how anything holding us back. That's how see, God is omnipresent, meaning he's everywhere at all times. Not only presently he's everywhere, but God is everywhere. Listen to me. God is everywhere linearly. In other words, God is in past, he's in the present, and he's in the future. So not only is he everywhere at once, in the present moment, he's everywhere at once in the past. He's everywhere at once in the future. So that means without him giving us the necessary tools so that we can break the limitations, we will not be able to break them. Romans 10:17, it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Well, we've taken that scripture and have relegated it down to where we can control that scripture. So what we thought that scripture meant was, faith comes by me reading the word of God. But if that's the case, then how did Abraham walk in faith? Because there was nothing written.
Right.
How did Moses walk in faith? Because there was nothing written. And on top of that, listen to me, and on top of that, they were doing this under the old covenant. There was no redemption plan in place. They had to kill bulls and goats, and every time they had to offer the blood for them to be cleansed. So it wasn't in a position. They wasn't righteous like we are today. But yet we have taken Romans 10:17 and have relegated it down to where we're in control of it. So how we are in control of it? Oh, well, I go pick the scripture I want that I think fits my situation, and I'm going to take that scripture and I'm going to make something happen. When really, if you really get back to the Greek of this particular scripture, where it says word, is not logos. It is rhema, meaning a live word from God. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing God speak to me. Or let's say better than this. I think it's Matthew the 16th chapter, where Jesus said, told Peter, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. Or on this process. What process? Process of you understanding and stumbling upon information that you couldn't understand or stumble upon by yourself. Other words, revelation. So without revelation, you can't walk in faith. I like to put everyday applications and let you understand this. I use the example of Abraham. I use the example of Moses. Well, watch this. Even Noah. Watch this. Noah was in faith. What was Noah's faith? Number one, Noah's faith. God spoke to him and told him exactly how to build an ark. That was live. That was fresh word from God. God said, I'm going to flood this earth. I need you to build an ark. I want you to make it out of gopher wood. This is how long I want you to make it. This is how wide I want you to make it. This is who I want you to put in it. Noah was walking in faith. Are you seeing this? God told Moses, saw the burning bush. God spoke to him and said, I need you to go to deliver my people. Moses began to try to say, well, God, how am I going to go? I don't know. And God said, forget all excuses. I'm going to make sure you're empowered to go. Moses said, I'm not going to go if you don't go with me. God said, I'm going to go with you. Moses went and began to, through God, through him, began to perform those plagues on Egypt. That was Moses not reading the word of God. See, we're actually in a better position, because we have example upon example upon example of people trusting a God that they didn't have no preconceived or pre-foreknowledge about. And here we have a whole book that tells us what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do. And so what we have to do is allow God to breathe on what he has said, so that it becomes revelation to us, so we'll have something to do. That's the only way we're going to break limitations. Amen. See, so now it takes us faith, from faith to anointing. Anointing is removing burdens and destroying yokes. What the anointing does is clear the pathway so that we can access God's glory. That's what the anointing does. The anointing removes burdens and destroys yokes, so that nothing can hold us back. Listen to me, internet. Nothing can hold us back from accessing God's glory. See, the ultimate goal is to get to his glory. So without God's grace, without his favor, without his preceding word, without the power of the Spirit, that's why, go to Acts. Jesus says something very powerful in the book of Acts. Notice this the preceding word the author talks about. The preceding word. Keep going to Acts. The preceding word. Other words, it is a confidence knowing that something is going to happen before you move out. See, Moses was confident. Moses said, God, I ain't going to go if you don't go with me. God said, I'm going to go with you. Go. He would have never went if God hadn't given that preceding word, I'm going to go with you. Are you seeing this? So it has to have a preceding word. Most people in the body of Christ are not acting on preceding word. They're acting on a logos. Are they acting off of somebody else's experiences? You need to have your own. You need to have your own. God needs to be talking to you. God needs to be speaking to you. You can't go. The seven sons of Sceva went to them demons saying, the Jesus that Peter, the Peter knowing, that ain't work. They were trying to cast out a demon off of somebody else's experience. A preceding word. What I told you to turn? Acts. Watch this. Jesus said something very important in the book of Acts, the first chapter. Jesus told them in, let's see where it is, in verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Why did Jesus tell them not to go? Because they needed the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Spirit. I don't know how people make it by ignoring the Holy Spirit. We can't ignore no limitations, no nothing is going to be broken. And 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, about the 10th verse, the 11th verse, it says, and the very Spirit of God, he's the very Spirit of God. It talks about that he's the very Spirit of God. So if he's the very Spirit of God that knows all the deep things, he's the one that's going to reveal them to us. 1 John 2:20. 27, you have an unction, you know all things. If that's going to happen, then we have to acknowledge the Holy Spirit. So watch this. Watch this. This is a precedent was set in the book of Acts. You should never move out in nothing that you're trying to accomplish until the Holy Spirit has paved the way. You should never move out on anything. God himself didn't move out without his Spirit going first. What it said in Genesis, the first chapter. Watch that now. Watch it now. Watch. Go to Genesis, the first chapter. Watch what it says. Genesis, the first chapter, first verse. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Right? Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Yes. Verse 3, and God said. Yes. See, it's a precedent. That's why Jesus said it is so important that now they had instructions. They had instructions. They already knew what they were supposed to do. In the first chapter of Acts, they already knew what was supposed to happen. But Jesus said, don't nobody leave Jerusalem until you have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Because ain't nothing going to happen. You're going to receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Are you seeing this? Yes, so you should, limitations cannot be broken without the Holy Spirit paving the way. What I mean by the Holy Spirit paving the way? The Holy Spirit paves the way by what he releases from his mouth. God said, my word shall not return unto me void. It will accomplish that what I sent it to. So in other words, every time the Holy Spirit speaks or moves out, that means he's paving the way. A lot of times we move without hearing from the Holy Spirit. See, once God gives you instructions, God has already have made the results from those instructions possible. But what happens is a lot of times we move out before we get instructions. We know what we're supposed to have, we know what we're supposed to accomplish, but we haven't found out how God wants to do it. We haven't found out when he wants to do it. And so therefore we move out and the Holy Spirit is still back here. And so then when stuff don't work out for us, we begin to question our Christianity. when we buck the system. There was a precedent set in Acts, the first chapter. Jesus said, don't nobody go nowhere until after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Are you seeing this? God's grace, just God's special treatment, him looking at us and just saying that we're the apple of his eye, that's already put you in a position that God wants to talk to you. His preceding word, other words, once he speaks, that preceding word has already prepared the way for you to go, and the Holy Spirit comes and enforces. Does that make sense? That's how limitations are going to be broken. That's how past actions that have caused current limitations will break future breakthroughs. Are you seeing this? Without God's favor, without his preceding word, and without the power of the Spirit, limitations cannot be broken. Now, your pastor, and we have to allow them to have this. Sometimes breaking limitations, let me make this statement, because it's a statement we're all familiar with. Doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results is called insanity. You're crazy. So, quite naturally, if we're going to break limitations, different things are going to have to be done. We're going through it right now, Word of Life. We're going through it right now, Word of Life. Our praise and worship just ain't the same. It's just not the same. It has to be different. Why? Because we're trying to access a presence of God that we've never accessed before. So if we want to get results that we've never gotten before, we're going to have to do things that we've never done before, no matter how uncomfortable it may feel. Sometimes in church service, we're going in one direction. All of a sudden, the words come out. We try to listen. What they saying? Wait a minute, what they saying? It takes us 2 or 3 stanzas to try to figure out what they're saying. But then we figure out, we see where the Spirit of God is going. That right there is not the time for you to be judging and saying, well, I don't really like what they're saying. Nobody asked you. Nobody really cares how you feel. That is the direction that the Holy Spirit is going. The Holy Spirit is the very Spirit of God. I use this example. Me and my siblings, this is a running joke in our family. Whenever we want to get a yay from Apostle, we don't necessarily approach him directly. We go to the person that knows him the best. And we talk to her about what we're thinking. And then we let her coach us on how we should approach. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. The Holy Spirit is giving us what makes God move. The Holy Spirit is giving us what's going to make God stand up on his throne. The Holy Spirit is giving us what to say that's going to make God manifest himself. Are you seeing this? So that ain't the time for us to be wondering, why the word is so different? Why we don't sing none of the songs I hear on the radio? Why don't hear the gospel songs I got in my CD player? Because you weren't getting no power off them songs in your CD player anyway. You were just being entertained. Is this making sense? So it is God's favor. It is his preceding word. And it is the power of the Spirit that's going to break limitations. Having all those things that the pastor is supposed to, the role of the pastor, six or seven things that's supposed to happen. What was it? Well, let me read it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, 6, 7. 7 things that the role of the senior pastor, it then leads to now understanding the alliance in the house. Now we know where we fit. See, once you understand the role of the leader, then you can now begin to understand where you fit in at. So
If the role of the leader is to do all these things for me, mature me for participation, to get strategy. We just talked about the break limitations. Now I know how to fit where I need to fit so that I can begin to function where I need to function. See, a lot of times in church, once again, this is so contrary to what we're used to in church. In church, we're used to coming to church to get our word, to take care of our situations. And once it's our situation is taken care of, then we're really not concerned about anything else. And that's not how the church was designed. The church was designed so that we can come in covenant, so that we can begin to be an influence to those that we come in contact with. That can't happen if we're always introverted or focused on ourselves. The 318 men that were trained in Abraham's house went through all these points that we're finna go over. Number one, I'll stick with the word willing. Those 318 men accepted Abraham's leadership over them. They accepted it, meaning they were willing. We talked about that here before, didn't we? That you must be willing. It can't be nothing that's forced down your throat. Listen to me, that you have to be willing. I've accepted the leadership. Now, if you accepted the leadership, that means that I'm not going to now try to change leadership. Because if I knew the way to go, I should be leading. Right?
Yes, sir.
But since I say I'm going to, see, a lot of people falsely accept leadership so they can try to get a foothold in the ministry to really do what they want to do. But they all accepted Abraham's leadership. Number two, this is where bitterness arises between and a Satan, and Satan does an excellent job in this, in magnifying this. Number two, they were redeemed with a price. Now, one of the things that the current 21st century pastor have to understand is that people have choices. This is important. People have choices. They have to understand that. If they don't understand that, then they're going to find themselves being bitter. God understood this. People have choices. Because if God understood this with the very first creation that he made, then we should be able to understand it with everybody else that we deal with. People that you deal with in your life, they have choices. But when they got choices, there are also rules of engagement. See, even though Adam and Eve had a choice, they could eat the fruit or not eat the fruit. They had a choice. Once they made their choice, God would say, oop, you made your choice. I can't control that. But what you're not going to do is you're not going to make the choice that's contrary to the rules of engagement and think you're about to benefit. See that? See, we have to understand that. See, people have choices. So watch this. When people have choices and they can make decisions, then we have to allow people freedom to make those decisions. But watch this. When people make decisions that are contrary to the rules of engagement, that don't mean it does not hurt because of this here. Prices have been paid. Whether you want to believe it or not, your pastor has paid a price and has invested in you. Man, Apostle is not as mature to a point to where I really hadn't matured yet. I'm going to just be straight up honest. You know, I'm working toward it. God is still working with me. I'm still, you know, I get mad. I get upset. Apostle done put 10, 12 years, pouring his life into a person, and then all of a sudden they jump up and talking about, I don't like it here no more. This ain't for me no more. Well, of course, yeah, you got your choice, but that don't mean I ain't mad. Why? Because time has been invested. Now watch this. Being on the end of being invested into, when you treasure the investment that is made into you, it's very hard for anybody to come along and take you away from somebody who's been investing in you. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
See, those 318 men understood the price that Abram had paid in them. One of the greatest statements is that they were born in his house, meaning they had the same heart that Abraham had. That's why I love the concept and Christianity about being born again. You know what I'm saying? Being adopted into the family of God. That means that now my thinking changed. My thinking has the right to change. My actions have a right to change. My life has a right to change. The way I do things has a right to change. I don't have to be stuck in my old ways anymore. That means I'm a new creature in Christ. That means I'm born in the family of God. I got a new lineage. I don't have to be tied to my old lineage. No matter what I've done in the past, I don't have to be tied to it anymore. That stuff ain't connected to me anymore. I'm now here in the family of God, and there was a major price paid for that. There was a major price paid for that. That's why I don't understand this hyper grace message. To me, this hyper grace message tramples on the blood of Jesus. It tramples on the price that was paid. The question has to be asked, why did Christ die? Did he die to save you and allow you to stay in the same position that you're in? Oh, Christ died so that you can have life and have it more abundantly. I refuse to discount the blood of Jesus. I refuse to let Satan come trip me up and make crazy decisions that will cause me to trample on the blood of Jesus. Of course, yes, sometimes I may make mistakes, but that's what the blood of Jesus for, is to wash me clean. But I'm not about to be the one who is committed to sin. Because when you are committed to sin, the Bible says you are of the devil. That's what the word in, I think it's 1 John 4, it said he that committed sin. That word really means he that is committed to sin. But I'm born in the house. The price was paid. That same. So a lot of times our pastors make those same sacrifices, invest in us. And when we don't recognize that, it's easy for us to walk away. Every one of us have experienced that. Every last one of us has experienced that. Where we invest in somebody. And when we invest in them, they don't recognize what sacrifices we have made, and they just simply walk away. Satan magnifies that the most, because he wants to continue to drive a wedge, wants to drive a separation between leadership and those that are helping to endorse leadership. Are you seeing this? Number three, that's the one I want to look for. We were born in the spirit of the house. Those 318 men were born in the spirit of Abraham's house. Other words, they may have had one train of thought before they came in contact with Abraham, but once they found out what Abraham's agenda was, what he stood for, that, watch this, that God's favor was on Abraham, that God's grace was on him. Then they began to, watch this, be born in the spirit of the house. Other words, what Abraham stood for, they began to stand for. What Abraham began to fight for, they began to fight for. Whoever was Abraham's enemy became their enemies. They became born in the spirit of the house. Other words, it's no longer about me and what I want. It's now about what God is doing through Abraham. The Bible says in 1 Samuel, the 22nd chapter, that they had some men that surrounded themselves around David. They was in debt, distress, and discontentment. What they did, they made David a captain over them. Other words, what happened? They saw the feats that David had done. So they're able to recognize that God's hand was on David. So if God's hand if I can't recognize God's hand is on me, the next best thing to do is get connected to somebody who I can recognize God's hand is on. And when I get connected with them and recognize God's hand is on them, then they help uncover my eyes and see that God's hand is on me. Are you seeing this? So you have to become born in the spirit of the house. It makes no sense for you. Why would you sit in a place and waste time and you always got a difference? You always got a gripe. Or you always got a complaint. Or you always got something opposite to say of what's going on. Why would you sit there? Why would you waste time there? That comes from being born in the spirit of the house to make those transitions. Now, God provides the power to be born in the spirit of the house, but you provide the decision. I hope you heard that. God provides the power, you provide the decision. Once again, we back at the word willing. Willing. They saw David and they said they joined themselves to David and made him a captain over them. These 318 men seen where Abraham was going and joined themselves and say, "We will fight for you, Abraham." Even there were three other men. Let's go a little further. Watch this. Number four, they were well trained in the house. They were well trained. Other words, Abraham. Now watch this. Abraham with 318 men went into a city and took a whole city over. 318 men. Actually, they're going into Sodom and Gomorrah. They took over a whole city with 318 men. Tell me they had to be trained. Now, watch how this all works now. They had to be trained, and they had to have a strategy. Where they got the strategy from? Abraham. Because what was Abraham's function? To go get strategy. Are you seeing this? They were pliable to execute strategy. Other words, they were flexible. Other words, when Abraham say go left, they went left. If he came back 3 minutes later and say go right, it wasn't, well, why you come and told us go left? Why you tell us to come out here and pray at 6 a.m. on a Friday morning and then you stop it next week? They were pliable. Other words, they were flexible to move wherever the Spirit of God was moving. F. Next one. They were willing to work under different leaders. Oh, this is important. This is important. They were willing to work. Watch this. Abraham gave three other men charge over his 318 men. And they were able to take direction from them. Those guys that had joined Abraham in his fight, those same guys that Abraham said in the latter part of the 14th chapter, give them their stuff. It was three of them. Give them their stuff. I ain't gonna take a shoe latchet or nothing from you because I don't want you to say that you made me rich. He said, give them their stuff. There was guys that had joined Abram, and Abram recognized their talent. Are you seeing this? Yes, sir. Abram recognized their talent, put them in place. There are gonna be times. There are going to be times when somebody walks into the house and God has been preparing them somewhere else. And when they walk in, they fit right in and they go straight to leadership. That ain't the time for you to be complaining about why he ain't choose me. You may even get changed out. That ain't the time for you to get offended and say, well, shoot, listen, you have got the people to this point with your leadership. Nothing wrong with what you've been doing. Nothing wrong with what's been going on. You've got the people to this point. Now you got to recognize God has trained somebody to come in to take them to another level. And so now I got to grab on to go to this other level with them. They're willing to be led by different leaders. Boy, that takes a lot of that. You cannot have an ego. Can't have ego. You got to be able to move where the Spirit is moving. Are you seeing this? Next one. This is key. We're able to fight whenever required. Was able to fight whenever required. Ain't come up with no excuses. Well, Pastor, I can't do this today because I got this to be done. Now, watch this. Remember the very beginning of this class, one of the first things I said is we have a tendency to try to prioritize. Y'all remember that?
Yes, sir.
And I begin to talk about being in harmony. If God is in the center, everything else will revolve around and it will work out. So watch this. God is not, if God connects you to somebody, he's not going to connect you to somebody that will cause conflict in your life. Are you seeing this? So if that's the case, then I can let down my guards and realize that if I'm called to duty, that it's not going to conflict with whatever it's not going to conflict or whatever I need to do. Because then I'm relying on Matthew 6:33. When I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added to me. So sometimes you're going to be called for duty and it's going to be during some time when you think you can't go and fight, but it's God trying to get you, God dog it, it's God trying to get you out of the way so he can come in and do for you what you couldn't do for yourself. But a lot of times what happens is we renege on time when we're called for duty and try to stay holding on and stay trying to take care of our issues, and we can't do nothing about them anyway. So of course there is no conflict with the call of God. You have to be ready to fight at all times. And you have to understand that if I'm being called to fight, listen, there were times when an apostle would call me to do something and I was in the middle of doing something. Well, I'm going to do what he asked me to do. It's time to go. It ain't time to be watching why he called me now. Why he can't wait till tomorrow. No, it's time to go now. And when I come back, what I'm dealing with has totally changed. Not once, not twice, not three times, four times. And I know what's happening. Is every time God is getting me out of the way, watch how this works now. Watch how this works. Why this mess together? God is getting me out of the way. What I'm going to do? I'm going to do kingdom agenda. Right? So that means I'm seeking first his kingdom. Right? So I'm seeking first his kingdom. That means all things are going to be added to me. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So God has set me up to sow something that I need to reap. Not one time, not two, not four, not five, not six, seven, eight. I mean, just every time God calls you and you have to be ready to fight, ready to go to duty, be ready to go to war. Whenever he does that, he's calling you and he's getting you out of the way so that he then can take care of something that you've been trying to take care of. I hope you hear that. They were able to fight whenever required. It wasn't no, because now remember now, you got to go back and remember all these things. You got to remember these things. You got to remember these things. Number one, they accepted his leadership. Right? So if I accepted the leadership and leadership calls, ain't no time for me to be coming up with no excuses. We were redeemed with a price. Not only the ultimate price was paid for us by Jesus Christ, but those that he had put in leadership in our lives is paying a price. So you have to remember these things. I said I would. I said I would do it. Can you imagine those guys joining themselves to David? And now David is going in the middle of war. One of them call him and say, David, Captain, I can't make it today. You know, my daughter had a ball game today. Now, mind you, the daughter got a whole season. A whole season of ball games. I'm talking from experience now. A whole season of ball games. So you just missing one game ain't going to make no big deal. Are you seeing this? See, so we have to remember that the price that is being paid. I said I would, right? Look, I was born in the spirit of the house. I've taken up what moves apostle moves me. What doesn't move him doesn't move me. I am well trained. From the price that was paid, from the time that was made, that was invested in me, I've been well trained if I was listening. See, people who stay someplace for a long amount of years, in the church for a long amount of years and just up and leave, they wasn't hearing nothing the pastor said. They wasn't hearing nothing he or she said. They were just there for their own selfish reasons. So that's why they could just pick up and move. Because no roots were planted. See, I want one of y'all to go outside in front of the sanctuary. Those that watch by internet, you go out in your front yard and don't mess with them little pansies and them little flowers. The tree in your front yard. Grab that tree and move it. Just pick it up. Pick it up. Just snatch it out the ground. You ain't snatch that tree out the ground. That tree been there for years and years, and it's rooted and grounded, and it ain't going nowhere. You're going to have to do some work. A lot of stuff going to have to happen for that tree to be uprooted and moved. Are you seeing this? So all those things lead to being able to fight whenever called on. See, more. Watch this. Apostle said this before. You've read this in the Apostolic Strategy. An excuse is the skin of a lie. You that close to lying when you give an excuse. Now, there's between a reason and an excuse. When you give an excuse, see, I can tell when somebody giving me an excuse. I can tell it because here's when I know somebody giving me an excuse. You think about it and look at it and say, well, you could have made some adjustments. But you just simply chose not to make any adjustments. And so you giving me this excuse. Here's how I am. I'm straightforward. Gentleman that I hadn't seen in 4 or 5 years had called me out the blue. And we were tight about 10 years ago. Called me out the blue. We were tight, and his family came down, his kids, and they stayed at my house. And, you know, we were tight. And so I hadn't heard from him about 10 years, you know, busy family stuff. I hadn't heard from him about 10 years. And he texted me, and he said, you know, I'm going to be in town, you know. I said, well, man, let me know you're in town. We're going. He's heard from you in a while, you know, good, was not. I got a text another 3 days later saying, hey, man, I got a job in the area. My wife is bringing me. She gonna need a place to crash. And so I'm not full of excuses. So I didn't beat around the bush and just try to make some up saying, well, you know, I ain't got the room or nothing like that. I'm just real. I just didn't respond. So when I see him the next time, he gonna bring it up. But if you born to bring it up, I'm born to answer you. Man, I ain't seen you in 10 years. We ain't talked. You know, cause I don't know what you've been doing the last 10 years. I don't know, you might have been on the sin train. I don't know that. What I'm saying is excuses are the, I could have easily made an excuse and be lying. I really didn't want him in my house, but I made some other reason that I call reason, but it's really an excuse so he won't stay in my house. So it's just my, you got an excuse is the skin of a lie. And also, like he was saying, it's also the crutch of the uncommitted. I'll see y'all next week.